Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back, but even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. It's a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go.
Very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left.
I guess you can call it an oldie but a goodie, and you see there where, you know, Brock has to do the death crawl with Jeremy on his back and going all the way across the length of the field, and you will get the gist of that story in our message today. Corbin Thompson here for Restoration Place, a service of Restoration Christian Ministries out of North Brunswick, New Jersey. We are at jamesisking.com on the King James Radio Network. That's the King James Radio Network, not Restoration Christian Ministries. And, of course, we're on Facebook. Just type in King James Radio Network, and on Twitter, at King James Radio 1. First Lady Darlene Bazemore has today's message. And in this message, basically just saying that it's not over. Whatever you're going through, whatever it is, and the enemy thinks he's won, but it's not over. And the title of today's message, Life in a Dead Situation. Just when you think everything is dead and buried, just when you think it's all over, God has other ideas. And so without any further ado, First Lady Darlene Bazemore starts us off in the month of February, Life in a Dead Situation, on this edition of Restoration Place.
So it gives me great honor to introduce my wife, First Lady, co-pastor. Stand on your feet and let's give her
to my heart. He says, I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know that he's going to do something. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He's going to do something for each and every one of us on today. Amen. My soul is just so full right now. I'm just so overjoyed at the testimonies and the praise reports. And this song comes to mind. It's been in my spirit most of the morning. And it's My Soul Loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. Bless his name. My soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. Bless his name. He's a wonder. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank God for that song. My soul loves Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what may come my way. My soul loves him this morning. Hallelujah. I was just glad to be in the house of worship where I can just come freely and give him the glory and give him the honor because he's so worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. I glorify him on this morning. Glory to God. I'm just excited in Jesus. I'm excited for this opportunity to be able to come before the people of God. I love our pastor, amen, and I just thank him for these opportunities. I don't take it lightly, but I am just honored to be able to stand here on this morning. We're going to be coming from St. John 11, going through the story of Lazarus, and we're going to be just skimming through the first through the 44th verses. I promise you I won't read them all. Amen. But we're just going to be skimming through this story. And the Holy Spirit said to me that there is life in what appears to be a dead situation.
Right.
There is life.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes. In what appears to be a dead situation. Glory to God. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 just to start out. And it says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Martha which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, one thing that we have to realize just in these three verses right here is that there was a relationship that they had with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you are in relationship with someone, then you can go to that person when you are in a dire need. Because I am in relationship with my husband, I can go to him and ask him for things that maybe I can't ask one of you because of our relationship. And when you are in relationship with Jesus Christ, you can go to him asking anything. They knew and believed that if Jesus were to come, he could heal him and he would be delivered. Amen? With relationship, there is a knowing. There is a trust factor that you have with that person that you're going to go to. It is because of relationship that the Shunammite woman went to the prophet Elijah when her son died. She knew that if she could just get to him, and he would come to see about her son, this being a man of God, that her son could be healed. When you accept Christ Jesus as your Savior, you are in the beginning of stages of relationship with him. This is the beginning of your relationship. As you spend more time with him, as you nurture yourself in his word and learn more about his ways and what pleases him and what displeases him, then you can go to him asking anything and everything because of this relationship and the love that he has for you and I. Yes. You can go to him if you need comfort. You can go to him if you don't understand something. You can go to him if you need joy, if you need a release in your spirit. You can go to him because of this relationship that you have for him, with him. In 1 Peter 5 and 7, it says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. The Lord God cares for you. He cares about you. In verse 4, it talks about when Jesus heard of his sickness, right away he lets them know that this is not unto death, but rather for the glory of God. The Son of God might be glorified thereby.
Yes, yes, yes.
This sickness that he's going through, this dire situation that he's going through, is not unto death. Your struggle, Cheryl, is not unto death.
Amen.
The tough time and the adversity, Louise, is not unto death.
Yes,
hallelujah, glory to God. The financial situation, the feeling of hopelessness is not unto death, but rather to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What I may be going through, what you may be going through, Pastor, is not unto death, but it's unto the glory and honor of God.
Hallelujah.
That in his Son, Jesus Christ, that he might be glorified.
Yeah.
That they would know that he Savior. God wants to get the glory out of your life. He wants to get the glory out of your circumstances. He wants to get the glory of, even if you're going through this trial and this tribulation right here and right now, to know that there is another side where we are victorious, where we are more than overcomers. He wants to get the glory out of that. And it is Him that is going to carry you through that. It's Him that's going to carry you through the struggle. He's going to carry you through the test. He's going to carry you through the trial. He's going to carry you through because He wants to get the glory. Hallelujah. He wants God to get the glory. It's Jesus that brings you through all of these things. It's Jesus, and it's our trust, and it's our relationship in Him that delivers you from sickness and disease and poverty and lack and depression and every spirit unlike Him that tries to keep you down, that tries to keep you oppressed, that tries to keep you in that downtrodden state of mind. But my God is the deliverer. He is the great I Am, Nikki, and I love Him from the depths of my heart. I love Him because I know that I am victorious in Him. I am more than a conqueror in Him. I am delivered through His love and through His mercy and through His grace. And so are you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We live in Him. Hallelujah. We have life everlasting in Jesus Christ. Jesus loved Mary. He loved Martha. And He loved Lazarus. And even through that, you know, even when they sent the word to Jesus Christ, He stayed away from them for 2 days. 2 days. So it's not like He dropped everything He was doing. He was like, oh, I got to go see about my homeboy. You know, I got to go check him out. No, He didn't do that. He waited another 2 days after He received the word. Can you imagine? We have emergencies in our life. We have dire situations, and we pray to God because that's our channel of communication to Him. And if He doesn't do that thing that right next minute, we're like, okay, wait a minute. What's going on, God? You know, I prayed to You. I came to You. You know, I'm looking to You for answers. What is this? You know, it's past 2 hours. God, what's happening? I thought I would hear from the Holy Spirit by now. You know, what is going on? But He tells His disciples in this passage that Lazarus died. And then He says to them, you know what? He was glad that he was not there when it happened. Isn't that ironic? He was glad that he wasn't there when it happened. So that now, when they go there and witness this great miracle, they will believe. My God. He was glad that he wasn't there at the time. So now, when I go, you're going to witness this great miracle that God is going to do through me, His Son. And then it's because of what you're seeing that you will believe. My God. Hallelujah. Sometimes we believe God can do it when He's promised it. Yet the human side of us, you know, that natural side, that fleshly side, it may have a little doubt because it hasn't come to pass yet. But God doesn't want us to doubt Him. Even when circumstances, they may seem insurmountable, He doesn't want us to doubt Him. That's when He wants us to trust Him all the more.
Hallelujah.
He wants us to stand firm on His word because He is not a God that He should lie.
That's right.
Jesus, He wanted His disciples, you know, and everyone else there to be fully persuaded in this passage of Scripture. He wanted them to see the miracle when He came after the death had already taken place. He wanted them to be fully persuaded in that they believed. By the time that Jesus got to Lazarus, Corbett, it was already 4 days. 4 days, right? So Martha went out to meet Him first, and she told Him that had He come, her brother would never have died. But He told her that her brother would rise again. And we're going to go to the 24th verse in this 11th chapter of St. John. And the 24th verse says, Martha saith unto Him, I know that He shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. You know, so she knows that he's going to rise again within the resurrection. But Jesus said unto her that I am the resurrection. So, you know, don't wait for it to happen days from now, but know that I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Martha then, she called Mary, and Mary runs to Jesus, and she fell at his feet, and she says the same thing to him when he saw her, you know, and the Jews were there, and Mary was weeping, and the Jews were weeping, and then Jesus became troubled in his spirit, and it moved him greatly, and he asked them, where did they lay him? So now he wants to know. He sees everybody is troubled and weeping, and, you know, and he wants to know, where did they lay Lazarus? A lot of times we take quietness when we're praying to him. We take quietness, unresponsiveness, when we want to hear from the Lord as they wanted to hear from him and wanted him to come right away. We take that quietness and unresponsiveness as if he doesn't care. You know, we cry out to the Lord, hey, you know, do you hear me? Do you see me? Do you know what I'm going through? Do you feel my pain? Do you see the anguish that I'm going through? Do you know how bad this hurts me in my heart? Do you see the circumstances that I'm going through now? And you wonder, God, do you even hear my cry? Do you even care, God, that I'm going through this? Well, the answer is that yes, he does care. And like I read before in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Yes, he cares. And in verse 35 of this passage, it says that Jesus wept. He showed the Jews how much he cared and how much he loved him because it states that he wept. And even then, some of the Jews stated and asked the question that if he could give a blind man sight, then couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Listen, we have to know this, that just because he doesn't answer our prayers or answer our requests, when we think that he should answer our prayers and requests, it doesn't mean that he doesn't care, and it doesn't insinuate that he doesn't care, and that he's just left us and forgotten all about us. The Word of God says that he would never leave us nor forsake us, so when dire situations come, we can't just cast that scripture to the side. It's there. It's in the Word. He does care for us. And I thought about one of my favorite movies, and Pastor knows this particular movie, but as I go in to tell just a little snippet of the movie, God cares so much for you that he cares enough to stretch you. He cares enough to stretch you out of your comfort zone. There are certain things that if I was not stretched, I would continue doing that thing habitually each and every single day without fail. But because God is stretching me and pushing me out of the comfort zone, because God is stretching you and pushing you out of the comfort zone, it may feel like he doesn't love you or that he doesn't care, but he cares enough to do that. It's just like a parent with a child. You care them and love them enough that you're not going to just let them go over to the stove and touch it and get burned.
That's right.
You care them enough that if snippet. But people use it as a good motivational tool in business and different things. It's a Christian movie. And I love the part where they're on the field. They're on the football field. And the coach says, you know, I want you to do, what is it called? Is it? It's not suicide. What is it called? Okay, well, anyway, he puts a, he, the football
crawl.
Play. What is it?
The death crawl.
The death crawl. Yes. Thank you, Corbin. So he has to do the death crawl. And he has to put someone literally on his back. So now, imagine this. You're getting ready to do the death crawl, and you have all of the weights that is being pressed upon you on your back.
Yes, yes.
So now these things are weighing you down, and now you have to lift up off of the ground, and you have to crawl from the the beginning of what is it? I don't even know, all the way down to the end, from one field to the other. Amen. You're going from one end of the field to the other. Well, he didn't even realize that he was going to do this because the coach blindfolded him.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes what God will do is you will feel like you're walking around aimlessly.
Mm-hmm.
You will feel like you have a blindfold on you, right?
Yes.
You will feel like you can't see your way and you don't know what is happening. You can't understand it, but God is right there by your side, and that's what the coach said. I'll be right with you. You can do this. You know, if you trust and if you believe, you can do this. You can go the 20 or 30 yards, and we'll go as far as you think that you can go. And he's like, okay. So he starts crawling, and he starts crawling, and he's like, oh, okay. You know, am I there? Am I at the 20? By this time, he had passed the 20 because he couldn't really see where he was going. And that's us with God. God is, he's right there. He's our coach. He's leading us, and he's guiding us, and we're going past and beyond the place that we even thought that we could go because we can't see it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God is stretching you, and he's stretching you, and he's pushing you, and he's pushing you, and he's coaching you along the way that we are continuing to go even beyond where we thought that we could go. So he continues, and he says, oh, it hurts. You know, he says, I'm getting tired. I'm getting weak. I can't do it. I feel the pain. It burns. It's hurting too much. And that's where we are with God. Because we're blindfolded, we can't see where God is taking us.
Yeah.
And God, it hurts. You know, this pain that you have me going through, it doesn't feel good. God, I don't want to. I can't go on. And God is saying to you, you can do it. You can go on. You can push past the burn. You can make it all the way to the end. And he goes on and he goes on. And this coach is down on the ground with him. And every time I see it in my mind, I can picture God. And he's saying, Darlene, you can make it. You can keep going. Louise, you can push. You can go all the way to the end. Nikki, if you just hold on and you keep crawling, it doesn't matter how heavy the burden is. You can make it. You can keep going. And God is standing there and he's telling us that we can make it.
Amen.
And then when he gets to where he stops, he takes the blindfold off of the guy, and he's like, look up where you are. He said, you're in the end zone.
Yes.
He had gone all the way to the end.
Yes.
He passed the 20. He passed the 30. He ends up in the end zone.
Yes.
And that's just like us with God.
Yes.
He will take you all the way to the end zone, but you got to trust him.
Yes.
You got to believe him, and you got to allow him to coach you through it. Amen. Sometimes we have to take sometimes what God does is he takes away all of the resources around us, the people that we used to go to, the things that we used to ask for. He takes away all of the resources. You know, you may be able to at one time go to your 401k and get the money out or take a withdrawal, and then you look and you're like, oh, got too many loans, can't take it out. Uh-oh, no more withdrawal. Okay, it doesn't follow these stipulations of the hardship. Can't do that, you know. And God takes away all of the resources so that you can lean on him, the source. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the story continues on. And they showed him where Lazarus was laid, and he asked them to move away the stone. So Martha, paraphrasing, she's like, okay, Lord, he's been dead 4 days now. Now, the reality of this situation is that by now, she says in verse 40, or she goes on to tell him how horrible the smell would probably be once the stone is rolled away. But in verse 40, he said to her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see and better yet, that he's not even interested in you. Because if he were God, would you be going through this? What kind of a God do you serve? But we serve a God that is a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of kindness. He's a God that cares. And he loves us so much. He loves us so much. So much so that in John, we're going to read, St. John is so familiar, 3 and 16, hallelujah. John 3, 16 and 17, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." We can stop right there. You don't even have to read the rest of it. He loved you. He loved me. He loved all of us so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into this world, or into the world, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's how much he loves you. So he's not going to let you down. He's not going to, you know, not answer your prayers. He's not going to, you know, just leave you and forget about you. He loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son.
Right.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. But what happens is when you become into this type of state of mind, you know, things start to deteriorate and things start to decay. It's almost like a grave clothes mentality, you know. And when you get into this state of mind, what the enemy tries to do is he tries to turn your dreams and to make them just halt. You know, he tries to make your faith dwindle. He tries to take your strength, and the strength that you would normally stand on, he tries to weaken that. You become hopeless and not hopeful. The fruit of the Spirit is not evident in your life like it was before, but rather all the things that are causing that unpleasant odor that Martha was speaking about, all of those things that would cause an unpleasant odor are spoken of in the Word, such as strife and fornication. All of those things start to take over. Hatred and idolatry and wrath and envyings and etc., causing an unpleasant odor to the Lord and keeping us bound in grave clothes. Hallelujah. Having that bound type of state of mind, swallowing us up so much that we can't even breathe and being strifled by flesh. Glory to God. Just as Jesus came to where Lazarus was laid, he comes to us today that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He loves us so much that he wants to bring life to those dead situations in our lives. Jesus cried with a loud voice, continuing on with the story, "Lazarus, come forth." Pastor has always teached that if he didn't call him by name, everybody would have came forth. Amen? So he says, "Lazarus, come forth." As Lazarus came out, all of the grave clothes that he had, that had him bound, Jesus spoke to them and he said, "Loose him and let him go." Jesus has given us the same authority today through the power of the Holy Ghost. When he ascended to the right hand of his Father, he said in John 14 and 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall meekness going down into 23. Temperance, against such there is no law. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There is no law. When you think about the ending part of that scripture, that means that there is no law, nothing to condemn in these things, and that therefore no ground for condemning those who live and practice the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. In closing, as I wrap up, I'm reminded, I was at work, and I sit near a window, and all of these, our particular store loves to bring in orchids. And orchids are a very particular flower, and they're very temperamental and very funny. And so they said, well, you know, since you've been sitting there, the orchids are just blooming. I'm like, yeah, because I'll be talking about orchids. But anyway, it's funny, the analogy that the Holy Spirit gave me. There's one person there in our store, and her, I won't even call her name, but there's one banker there. She loves orchids. And she had bought an orchid. She had it in her office. And she took the orchid. And because the blooms had fallen off of the orchid, she thought it was dead. So she took it and she threw it into the garbage. And one of the other team members noticed it, and she said to me, do you believe she threw this away? She threw the plant away. So I said, well, let's take it out. Let's take it out of the garbage. You know, we know it's not dead, you know, because we know how the nature of orchids. And so an orchid can have all these beautiful blooms on it for a while, for a period of time. And then, as with anything else, they die off, and they start falling off one by one. But you have to keep nourishing the plant with light and with water. Jesus is our light. The Word of God is our water. So even though things may appear to be dead,
that's good.
They're not, because they're still living. But we have to continue to nourish them. So as this story goes on, the base leaves continue to grow. You can see them sprouting up new green leaves at the bottom. So seemingly, because there's this stick there, you think that there's no fruit. All you see are the leaves at the bottom. And so you say to yourself, you know, but we knew that the plant still had life. So we continue to nourish it, and months may go by, you know, in order to keep it alive. So you continue to nourish yourselves with the Word of God. You continue to do the things that God would have for you to do. You continue to pray. You continue to read your devotional. You continue to do all of those activities that God, you know, would like to for you to do in order to be in relationship with Him. So you continue to do those things, as with this plant. We continue to nourish it. All of a sudden, it grows another branch coming out from the bottom and going up. And then as it grows this branch from the bottom and grows up, you might see a little notches on the edge of it. So we continue to do those things that we know to do. And just like with our walk, just like with our journey, you continue to do the things that you know that you should do.
That's right.
You continue to remain faithful. Don't give up. Because even though it looks like there's no evidence of fruit, God is still working in the midst. So you have to continue on. And as the story goes on, those little buds then turn into flowers. So as it seemed, we called this person back over. And then it's funny because the original plant will start out with so many flowers. But once it blooms back, you have even more flowers than you did the first time. We called the person over and we said, this is the same plant that you threw away because you thought it was dead. She couldn't believe it. But this is what God does. Because it appears to be dead, and that stick appeared to be dead. It appeared that there was no life in this plant. Because it appeared to be dead, doesn't mean that it's dead. Just like with our situations, because it appears to be dead, because our dreams and our promises and everything that God has said appears to be dead because nothing is happening for months, for years. It doesn't mean that it's dead. God is still moving.
Yes.
He's still stretching you. He's still moving, and he's still bringing it into fruition. we have to continue to nurture our dreams. We have to continue to nurture our aspirations. We have to continue to nurture them through our relationship with the Lord. We win at the end.
Hallelujah.
We win. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. Yes. We are more than conquerors through Christ. Don't throw your dreams away because it hasn't happened yet.
That's right.
Don't throw the plans of God away.
Yes.
Don't throw the giftings of God away because it hasn't happened yet. But know that it's still happening and that He's still moving, even though you don't see it, just like with that orchid. And I thought about it, and I look at my orchid in the window, and it has more blooms than it had the first go-round, which means that He's going to give you a double portion
Amen.
Of what you had before.
Amen.
So you think you might have lost. You think that everything is dead and that nothing is happening, but God is saying to us that He's going to give us a double portion.
Amen.
He's going to give us an overflow and an increase
yes.
that we won't have room enough to receive.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So we have to trust Him. We have to hold on to His word. And we have to continue to nurture the things that God has given us to do. Don't give up. Know that He is still with you. Know that there is life even in what looks to be and what appears to be a dead situation.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Praise God. You're standing to your feet.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you are encouraged by God's Word and will tune in next time to this station for our Sunday service at Restoration Christian Ministries. Stay encouraged and have a blessed week.